So glad you come on this Tuesday night, and so honored that you would come. I know life is busy, and you made an effort to come, and we're praying tonight that the Holy Ghost would minister to you, and that God would do something in your life in this meeting tonight. Well, if you have your Bible, I want you to go to the book of 1 Kings. Go to 1 Kings chapter 18. I'd love for you to go there. 1 Kings chapter 18. And I'm going to read a few verses there and preach for about an hour and 45 minutes. It's I'm just wondering if you was listening. You know, I say this a lot, Brother George, the church isn't burdened with long-winded preachers. Church is burdened with short-winded listeners. Amen. Smile now. Well, that went over real good. And I've been saying this, and I don't know if it's worked real good. Every once in a while, you know, I've been in places, Brother Carl, they wanted me to go on. I mean, they just wanted me to preach. And you go 30, 40 minutes, 45 minutes. And I mean, several of them after the service said, man, you could have just kept on going. Then you deal with that other bunch that says, boy, hurry every chance you get. And we'd really like for you to wind down a little quicker tonight. And well, I just found out a long time ago, you can't please people. Amen. You just can't do it. I mean, there's no possible way. So we just might as well just preach and let the chips fall where they may. Amen. If you have your Bible, go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. And I'm going to begin there in verse number 30. And there is absolutely no telling how many sermons I preached out of this passage. But I'm going to obey the Lord tonight. Look at verse 30 when you get to 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 30, would you shout a big amen?
Amen.
If you said amen, or even if you didn't, I'd love for you to stand. And I'm going to go from verse 30 all the way down to verse 39. We'll highlight some verses tonight. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. He put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. He said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water, note this, the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. I love this verse. Then the fire of the Lord fell. We could stop right there and say, that's good. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. and licked up the water that was in the trench. Watch this verse. Verse 39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God.
Yes, he is.
I want you tonight to look up here. If you like to write down what the man of God preaches, so that he can't come back next to you and preach this same sermon, then I want you to write this down. Altars that must be repaired. I got one amen and two nods. Altars that must be repaired. Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. I thank you for these people that have assembled into the house of God on a Tuesday night. I thank you for what you did Sunday morning. I thank you for what you did Sunday night and what you did last night. But it is a new night now. We need unction from the Holy One of Israel. If there's anybody lost, let this be the night that a sinner would walk down the aisle, bow his head or her head at an altar and accept you as Lord and Savior of their lives. God, if there's any tonight that is broken, if there's any tonight that is discouraged, if there's any tonight that needs help, God, I just pray tonight that revival would come into their world, that you would minister to them. Do something on this Tuesday night that only you can do. Oh God, we thank you for what you're doing, and we thank you for what you're going to do. Oh God, there are men of God here. There are precious ladies of God in this sanctuary tonight. God, they do not need to hear from Derek Stinnett, but they need to hear from God. Would you speak to them from the Word of God? And God, will give you praise and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Altars that must be repaired. Brother Carl, I am convinced that we are in a nation that has got away from prayer. Amen. We are dealing with a church age, Brother Dan, that has got away from prayer. Matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just the nation. It's not just the church. It is the individuals that make up the church. We have left prayer and put it on the back burner. And altars have become broken down, and we must repair the altar. I remember this phrase, Brother Tom Ballard. The Bible says in Psalm 43 and verse 4, he says in Psalm 43, 4, then will I go unto the altar of God. Amen. Do you realize tonight that you're a few feet from where your life can be changed forever?
Amen.
You're just a little ways away from where life can change for you. You say, man of God, would you explain the altar? Well, I'll do my best. Would you agree with me? The altar, Brother John, is not a bad place. It's a blessed place. Would you agree it's not a sad place? It's a sacred place. Would you agree with the man of God? It's not a horrible place. It's a holy place. And it is at the altar. I am just convinced, Brother George, that it is at the altar where it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. You can get help at an altar of prayer. And maybe you've walked in tonight and life has become hard and life doesn't make sense. Then I've got some news for you. There's help at the altar.
Amen.
Now I've got some wonderful news. I mean, I really don't know who's keeping up, but I'm not going to preach forever.
Amen.
Brother Nick, I'm just going to hit the highlights. But here's what I know. It was the rumble at Mount Carmel. I mean, God shook that mountain and God did wonders, and the fire fell from the glory world and came down to Mount Carmel. You know, sir, you know, ma'am, that Israel had been in a drought for 3 years. Would you agree, Brother John, that they were not only in a physical drought, they were in a spiritual drought? If you agree with that, shout amen. And they're desperately in need of God. And I didn't know this. Brother Mike, I had to study and find this out. What was happening to Israel at this particular time? The philosophies of the Phoenicians to the north and the Egyptians to the south, they were being poisoned by bad preaching. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
They were being poisoned by bad preaching. And you say, well, Brother Derek, what did Elijah do? He come down and he looked around and he noticed that the altar was broken down. Go to verse 30. I'm in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 30. He says in verse 30, I love this. You could preach a whole week right here. Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And the people came near unto him, and he repaired. Watch that. He repaired the altar of the Lord. Now, Brother Carl, something interesting about that little word repaired. The word repaired, it literally pictures a surgeon taking a wound and stitching the wound. Basically, repairing, fixing, mending. You say, man of God, do you think there's some altars in my life? Do you think there's some altars in preachers' lives that need to be mended? Look up here, ladies and gentlemen. There are altars in all of our lives that need to be mended and repaired. Woo. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost and it's early. I mean, Brother Tom, I'm liable to get excited and it's a Tuesday night service. You say, man of God, is that all? No, no, we got a little more. So he repaired the altar. And before the fire fell, he had to repair the altar. I am dealing with a church world that wants revival, that wants a move of God, that wants the fire to fall, but they do not want to repair the altar. They do not want to pay the price that it takes to have real revival. Ladies and gentlemen, I zigzag around America and you look at me, I've had it up to here. We're going to church and sweating, spitting, kicking, hollering, and just hoping God does something. When all the church has to do is to repair some altars. And the Bible said, then the fire of the Lord fell from the glory world and moved in their world. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to preach, and I'm just going to say this, Brother Roger. There are four altars in this text that I see that needed to be repaired. And here's what I deal with, Brother George. Someone said, well, you know, Brother Derek, that was an Old Testament. Do you think that has anything to do with me? Oh, yeah, it's got a lot to do with you. And you need to get a hold of it tonight. And there are four altars that we need to repair. I'm in verse 31. If you take notes, here's what I want you to write down. Number one, I want you to write down the altar of peace. The altar of peace. Brother Mike, I preached last night on unity. And you know, I had no clue. Brother John, I did not know that I was going to come back tonight and preach this. But God wouldn't leave me alone this afternoon. The Bible says in verse 31, Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. Watch that. Leave that there. The 12 stones which represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Brother George, they were scattered. So the man of God come back and he puts the stones and he puts them in order. If you agree with that, shout amen.
Amen.
And he gets it right. Now, Brother Tom, something interesting about that concept. So he piles them stones and he gets them together. Here's what I wrote down, the stones. The stones represent unity. If I have to amen this, it's going to take a little longer than it should. Brother Bill Rogers, the stones represent a picture of unity. Can I just be real with you? The body of Christ will never have a move of God until we get unified. Until we lay silly things aside. Now, I've been preaching since I was a little boy. I mean, Brother Carl, I started when I was 13. I know I don't look very old. I'm 44, Brother Dan, 44 years young. And here's what I found out. Do you realize we in the church argue about everything? I mean, you're going to look at me, I'm going to preach it now. Do you realize I've heard them, Sister Marlene, I've heard them gripe whether they had paper cups or styrofoam cups.
Amen.
I've heard them get upset by the color of the carpet. I'm not done. I've seen them get mad at what kind of wallpaper was put up in the men's and the women's bathroom. I'm still not done. I've had them, Brother Ron, get upset at who fixes the heat and who fixes the air at church. Now, you know my third uncle's cousin owns a heating and air. What? We don't have to call your third uncle's cousin. Just get the air fixed. Hey, and someone says, why do we allow silliness? Hey, I used to think, Brother Dan, I used to think the devil would come down and he'd affect the whole body. He'd get everybody mad at one another. And hey, that ain't how he works. He deals with one man or one woman at a time. And all of a sudden, y'all hear me? All of a sudden, this lady over here, I mean, she won't even look at this side of the building. I mean, because she's mad. You know, you didn't realize, you didn't recognize my uncle. You didn't even shake my hand. And that one over here doesn't talk to that one. And then they come to me and they say, well, you know, Brother Derek, you come this year and you sweated, spit, kicked, and hollered. But we really didn't have a move of God like we did. I said, well, you folk don't even love each other. You folks won't even shake one another's hands. And you're going to come to me and talk about we need a move of God. Ladies and gentlemen, would you agree with me? We need to repair the altar of peace. We need to get unified in the body of Christ. Woo. Now, I still ain't done. I'm just going to talk to you. Now, boy, it's dangerous, Brother George, when you get an evangelist and people start saying amen, it gets real dangerous. I mean, you get that far away look in your eyes and you're liable to hang out longer than you should. But I'm going to tell you something, it blows my mind. Things go on inside the house of God, inside the friendly confines of the house of God that should not occur. And listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 6, verses 17 through 19, I won't read it all, but it says, a false witness that speaketh lies, and it goes on to say, and he that soweth discord among brethren, God hates it. And I don't know why. Ladies and gentlemen, we get at odds and we get there is division and we're upset and we're mad and we're pointing fingers and blood vessels is popping out of our heads and we're upset and my. And God's saying, do you really want a revival? Do you really want a move of God? Then you got to get unity. You got to lay that division. You got to lay that hatred down. You got to get it underneath the blood. And now listen to me, give me a minute. I was reading the other day, man, they wanted to have revival, Brother Dan. I believe it was Florida. Man, they wanted to have revival. This pastor, he hadn't been there very long. I love his zeal. He started a prayer meeting. He started about 8:30 in the morning on Sunday. Everybody look up here. It's hard enough to get them to come at 9:45. He had the guts, Brother Tom, to say 8:30. They'd come an hour before church. There were two men. They wouldn't even look one another in the eye. I mean, they're mad at one another. But they've been in that church forever. And so they both come to the prayer meeting. That rocked on for about a week or two. They's coming every Sunday morning, an hour or so before church. And they'd go back to the prayer room. And they'd pray. Well, you know what happens when you pray. If you really pray sincerely, God will soften your heart. And God will begin to talk to you. Them two guys that wouldn't talk to one another. One's on this side. I feel this. One's over here and one's over there. Finally, this guy, he'd been praying. He knew they wanted revival. They'd been praying for revival. He knew they couldn't have it if they didn't get stuff right. He got up, walked across during the prayer meeting. This guy over here is praying. He's probably praying like most of us. He's looking around, wondering who's looking. And he sees this guy come up, and this old guy said, "Hey, man, I've been mad at you. I've held a grudge and I've harbored bitterness." And he said, would you please forgive me? That man turned, tears piled furrows down his face. He said, "Well, I've been mad at you as well. And I mean as well, but I want you to forgive me." Hold up. Them two men got right with God and they got right with one another. And God sent an old timey Holy Ghost revival to that church. How does it happen when we get the altar of peace? We got to have the altar of peace repaired. If you agree, shout amen. Amen. Go to verse 32. It's just 15 till 7. I mean, that's what that clock says back there. Don't you think it ain't? That's what it says. The altar of peace. Now go to verse 32. And then it said, "And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord." And it may hold up. Just hold up. Sister Melinda, watch this. The Bible said he made a trench. Here's what I want you to write down. We got to repair the altar of peace. Number two, we got to repair the altar of purity. I lost my manners. I knew it would. The altars of purity. Brother Roger, he made a trench about the altar, and as great as would contain two measures of seed. Now, I need everybody in the sanctuary to look up here. You know what I like about Elijah? He wasn't a lazy preacher. He got him a spade. Let me break that down for you. A shovel. And dug him a trench around that altar. Now hold up. I know y'all, some of y'all already built my sermon. Just give me a minute. He digs around that altar. Brother George, have you ever thought that there's been demon worship take place around that altar? And they've been worshiping the devil. And the old man of God, I love this. The old man of God got to look in and he said, "Well, we need the altar of peace. We need the altar of peace. We need the altar of purity." And he digs around that altar. Now, just give me a second. Here's what I wrote down. I said, "Okay, God, the stones being put together speak to us of unity." I said, "The ditch deals with distinction and separation." Brother Tom, let me say that again. The ditch that he dug around, that trench he dug around that altar, it represented distinction and separation. And you say, "Man of God, what's important about distinction and separation? We don't have much of that." And you say, Someone says, well, man of God, how old are you? I done told you 44. Then why are you dealing with distinction and separation? Brother Carl, here's why I deal with distinction and separation. Hey, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Do you agree with the man of God? There must be a return to holiness. There must be a return to righteousness. There must be a return to purity. If we want the fire of God to fall in our churches, we got to repair the altar of purity again. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not done. We just visiting. I can tell I'm going to preach longer than you can handle tonight. But I'm going to do it anyhow. I'm not worried. Here's what I found out. I'm not talking, Brother George Lynn, Brother Carl Chester. I'm not talking about perfect living. Listen to me. I am talking about distinction and separation. I'm going to dig around that a little bit. You say, man of God, explain that to me. Well, here it is. If you have 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church, hold up, I'm not done. What about this? You live for God or you go to church one day a week and 6 days a week you live like hell. Can I tell you what happens when you go to church one day and you live 6 days like hell? Look up here. This is real good. You're miserable. You are miserable. And Brother Eddie, someone says, well, man of God, do you got youngins? Look up here. My oldest daughter got married. I do have children. My son is 12. My youngest is 7. You say, boy, Brother Derek, you got a spread out crew there. Yeah, man, it'll humble you. And it'll teach you valuable truths. But can I tell you what I want my children to you? Can I tell you what I want our home to be? Brother George, Brother Carl, I want our home. We are not perfect. My Lord, look up here. We are not perfect. But look up here. We are different. We are different. And can I tell you what we need in a world that has absolutely gone crazy? We cannot be perfect, but we can be different. We can be pure. We can be holy. We can live right. We can make a difference if we repair the altar of purity. Now I'm going to say this and I'm going to move. Because I'm going to tell you, here's what I found out. If you live in the dirt all week and you play in the dirt all week, well, you're going to be dirty. It's going to be recognizable. People always think they can hide it from the preacher. I remember walking up, I can't believe this. Stuff comes to your mind, you're a preacher. Brother Tom, I was in Louisiana. I hadn't been a long time. They called me for revival. No, back up. They called me for their camp meeting. I got there early. They started, I can't remember, maybe 6:30 or 7. And I got there early. I walked up, brother. And I'm telling you this, Brother Dan, there's a lady over here, she's a puffin. A man over here, he's a puffin. You say, you pick? No, I ain't picking on it. And they're puffin, they're all puffin. And one of them says, oh my, the man of God's here. And they threw them cigarettes on the ground and stomped on them and shot a breath of, you know, they wanted their breath to smell good. And I'm sitting there watching all that unfold. They never said a word. Boy, they looked like they'd gotten caught. I'm just a young man and I'm sitting there thinking, hey, y'all, there's somebody a whole lot higher and a whole lot holier than Derek Daniel coming up in here. There's a God that said, let there be light, and there was light. There is an all-seeing eye. You say, Derek, are you preaching against? No, I'm not preaching against anything. But I'm going to tell you this. There is a cost. There is a price for holiness. There is a price for purity. And would you agree with me? We need to return to purity again. Now, brother, here it is, Brother Tom. Here's what I'm going to say. I don't even know how I got on that. I wasn't in the notes. Brother Tom, here it is. We don't preach anymore about separation. We don't preach anymore about holiness and righteousness. Because we're scared, Brother Mike, we'll run our crowd off. Well, that's why I'm an evangelist. I hit them and run. I'm a hit and runner. I just come in, sweat, spit, kick and holler. But look up here, don't miss this. I love you enough to preach you the truth. And Elijah said, if he be God, he be God. If he be God, serve him. And so you know where he's going. I remember years ago, Adrian Rogers, the great Baptist preacher, he made this statement, Brother Carl, and I wrote it down and I never forgot it. He said, a Christian, he said this, he said, a Christian, Brother John, he said, a Christian should stand out like a diamond in a coal mine. Brother Bill Rogers, you hear what I just said? The old man of God said a Christian ought to stand out like a diamond in a gold mine. Amen. Whoa. Boy, that's standing out. And you say, boy, Brother Derek, do you really believe this? Hey, the stones represent peace. The ditch represents purity. I want you to go to verse 33. I'm preaching fast tonight. I'm impressed with my own preaching. That's hard to do. Look at this. He put the wood in order. He cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood, and said, fill four barrels with water. Just stop right there. Look back up at the first phrase. He said he put the wood in order and he cut. Everybody say cut. Can I just break this down for you, Brother Dan? If you cut a bull, it's going to bleed. Just write that down. That's deep material. Brother Nick, you cut something, it bleeds. And the man of God cut the bullock in pieces. I want you to write this down. Number three, the third altar that needs to be repaired is the altar of power. Let me say it again. The altar of power. Brother Carl, Pastor, there is no awakening without a sacrifice. He cut the bull. There was blood. It is a picture of sacrifice. Oh, if there's anything in my own life that I recognize, that I get asked all the time. I do camp meetings. I do revivals. I do youth camps. I mean, I get to do it all. I mean, I do retreats. I do it all. But here's what I'm learning in my own life. If I'm going to go to the next level, if I'm going to go higher than I've ever been in my ministry, there has to be a level of sacrifice like I've never paid before. Amen. And you say, man of God, I want to go higher. I want to go further in my walk with God. Brother Dan Parker, there'll be a price to pay. Brother Tommy, there'll be a price to pay. Would anybody agree? It'll cost you something. Amen. Brother Tom Ballard, it is a picture of sacrifice. No revival without sacrifice. A lot of our churches look good. You didn't hear me. A lot of our churches look good, but they have no power. You know, Sister Sue, Sister Marlene, I'm not a... You know, I got an old, as I say old, it's new. It had hail damage, but I bought this Buick. Someone said, why'd you buy that little Buick? Look up here. Gets about 33 miles to the gallon. Can I give you any more guesses? It works real good for me. It's very nice. But I bought that. And I've never really been I've never owned a sports car. But Listen, Brother Carl, I just love to sit in one of them that's got that bad big motor, man, and I'd like to, I don't need it for just a few hours. I mean, you know, just give me the afternoon and just don't watch, but let me have that little thing and we're going to pray we don't get no discount coupons, blue light specials. And, we don't want any of that, but I'd like to just sit in one and just one time put my foot on the floor and see if it'll pull my head back. Amen. I mean, that's all I want to do. I mean, I just want to try her out. I don't want anybody around because I might not drive good. I'd just like to see how I could handle it. But listen to me. I'm going to tell you, I've seen hot rods and big motors, and man, they look good. Brother Tom, I mean, they look nice. And the interior's fine. The tires are great. The interior is immaculate. I mean, there's not a scratch on it. Maybe they give me the car keys and they said, man of God, it's yours. You can have yourself a time. Hey, look up here. And I sit down in that bad boy. I stick the key in the ignition. And I mean, you know, I'm excited. I just told you what I wanted to do. And then I turn the key, and here's what it does. Womp, womp, womp. Womp, womp, womp. Womp, womp, womp. I'm smart enough to know the battery's dead. There's no power. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care how immaculate it is. I don't care what you think. You can tell me how many horsepower, how bad it is, and what all it can do. If it doesn't have any power, it does me no good. Now look up here so I can help you. I am preaching in a generation of churches. Hey, the carpet is nice. The padded pews are nice. The pulpit looks good. The baptistry is wonderful. They got a great life center. They got everything that you would want. But there's no power. There's no Holy Ghost. There's no anointing. There's nothing going on. Would you agree with me? We need power in the house of God. We gotta have the power. The power is so strong, the lights are flickering tonight. You say, Brother Derek, do you really believe in this thing? Brother Carl, I believe we need power. If you agree with that, shout amen.
Amen.
He says in verse 33, they filled four barrels. They poured on the burnt sacrifice. They say in verse 34, he did it again the second time. He did it again the third time. Now, Brother Tom, you know this. I might as well give it to you. I'm going to give you two thoughts on that. Let me give them to you. I want you to write this down. So they have filled four barrels of water, then they did it again the second time, that's 8. Then they did it again the third time, that's 12. Brother Mike, they literally poured water all around, all over that altar. If that's right, shout amen.
Amen.
Now here's what I want you to see. If I took notes, here's what I'd write down. I see a saturation of power. I lost my manners. A saturation of power. Brother Carl, water is symbolic of the Holy Ghost. I'm working on a sermon, and there's going to be some of my friends ain't going to like it. But we need the Holy Ghost. We need the power of God. Brother Carl, the Bible says in St. John 7:37, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. Then he says in verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You say, man of God, what is the water symbolic of? It is symbolic of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. You say, Derek, what's going to make the power fall? What's going to Hey, it is the Holy Ghost. We need a saturation of the power of God.
Amen.
Then he did this, Brother Carl, and it jumped off the page. I had missed it for years. Go back to verse 33. Boy, we're going to hang out in this tent. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces. Hold up. I done told you, cut a bull, it bleeds. So here's what I want you to see. I want you to notice on that altar, Brother Tom, this is sermon material. There was water and blood on the altar. Well, what's the blood? Boy, if I had to break that down for you, it's obvious you ain't been in church in a while. That blood is that precious blood of the Lamb of God that offered his life and bled and died on a hillside that you might have life and you might have it more abundant. Is anybody glad for the Holy Ghost and the blood of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Here's what I know. I said, okay, God, there is a saturation of power. Then I wrote this down. Then I said, okay, God, there's not only water, there's blood. God gave me this. He said, there's not only a saturation of power, there is a surrendered place. Say, man of God, how are we going to have the power? You got to have the Holy Ghost, and you got to have a surrendered place. Now, I'm working on this, and I'm not going to talk long. Here's what I hear on a weekly basis. And I know some of you are going to say, well, that's good, and I'm not saying it isn't. But this bothers me. I deal with the church world that says, God, forgive me of all my sins. Sounds spiritual if you say it slow. Can I tell you, we need to be a little more specific than that. We need to say, forgive me of my bitterness. Forgive me of my gossiping tongue. Forgive me of running my brother down. You know, he's been going through hell and high water. And I've just been running him down. Can I tell you some of the darkest days that in my life when things are getting a little shaky and I needed somebody to call me and encourage me. Do you know what? You don't get that all the time. I had some phone calls. If they'd have been standing in front of me, I'd have slapped them in the name of Jesus. I'd ask God to forgive me. Now, I probably would have gotten in trouble. Go ahead and nod your head. But hey, listen, maybe I ain't got everything surrendered yet. But the thing you need to surrender is, God, forgive me of my gossiping tongue. Forgive me of my bitterness. Forgive me of my anger. Forgive me of my hatred. Is anybody listening to me? There must be a place. God, forgive me of apathy. God, forgive me of prayerlessness. God, forgive me for not reading your book. God, forgive me for getting so stinking busy. I couldn't even go to the revival. Now you're here. What do we need, Derek? We need to repair the altar power. I close tonight. Go to verse 37. I'm out of here. We'll close her down right here. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say it's about as fast as you can preach on a Tuesday night. Look at verse 37. No, look at verse 36. That'd have been a good one, Melinda. Look at it. Came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near. He goes on down. Go to verse 37. So he goes through this prayer. Then he says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Everybody look up here. So what do we need to repair, man of God? We need to repair the altar of peace, the altar of purity, the altar of power. And in verse 36 and 37, we need to repair the altar of prayer. The altar of prayer. I told you last night, and I'll say it again tonight, Brother Dan, I had a buddy of mine call me 3 or 4 days ago, and he said, Derek, you know what God's been telling me? I said, no, but I want to know. I'm a nosy fella. Brother George, here's what he said. He said, Derek, for 15, 20 years, I prayed that we could have revival. I've been praying, God, give us revival. He said, but you know what God told me I needed to pray for? I said, nope. He said, God been telling me we need to pray that a prayer meeting breaks out. I agree with that. We need a prayer meeting. Would you agree tonight? We need to repair the altar of prayer. I remember this, Brother Carl, I went into Kansas and probably shouldn't have told the state, but I went up there and I was preaching for a young fella. And I got there and I'd stayed all week and I can't remember what night it was. But he said, he come and got me, Brother Nick, and he got me to church. And everybody look over. We were 10 minutes late. He's the pastor. I'm the evangelist. He said, he done this. We walked in. We're the last one. I mean, everybody else is there. Don't that look good? Somebody nod your head. We walk in and I'm telling you, we looked up and I'm kind of sheepishly walking in. He said, hey, everybody, every man, I want every man to go back in the prayer room. Brother Roger, this is exactly how it happened. Ron, this is exactly how it happened. We go back to that prayer room and I'm sitting there and them fell. Hey, I'm not against it. I do it myself. It sounded like a pack of dogs. John, they were hollering, crying and praying. Now, I want you to look up here. I didn't get asked back after what I did. I stood up at night and I said, you can't run into a prayer room 10, 15 minutes after church starts and pray for 3 minutes and hope that real fire comes from above. I said, prayer needs to be a happening way before I walk into this building. I've been praying about Brother Carl. I've been praying about Brother George of sending a list. I know folks will think I'm a smart aleck, but I want to send a list to churches and say, you need to do this, 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 and this, and this, and this. Hey, I'll shorten the list. I'll only give them 3 main things they need to do. Because all they really need to do is get a burden and begin to pray and begin to seek the face of God. Would you agree with the man of God? We need to repair the altar of prayer. Amen. This case, I'm closing right here. This case happened. You can look it up. Don't look it up right now, Brother Tommy. I know you won't because you probably didn't even bring your phone in. No. My kind of guy. This happened, Brother Carl. The church began to pray that God would shut down the bar before the bar opened. Yeah. Now everybody look up here. I'm not talking about 20 years ago. I'm not talking about 30. I'm talking about in the last 5 years. I think it's 2 or 3 years ago. They began to pray that God would shut the bar down before the bar opened. Boy, when's the last time you heard that? Wow. I commend them. Well, they prayed that prayer. Here's what happened. A thunderstorm blew into town. Lightning struck that bar. Burned that bar to the ground. It ain't even open. It's burned to the ground. Look up here. I'm not even gotten to the punchline yet. The bar owner sued the church. Y'all think I'm, John, I'm not making this up. Y'all think I'm just this clever. Boy, you think wrong. I'm not that clever. They sued the church. Now, it's going to get even better. And so the judge stands up. Here's what the judge said. The judge looked out that day and he said, hey, the bar owner's sitting here. And he said, the bar owner... It's his exact words. The bar owner believes in the power of prayer.
Amen.
He wasn't done. He said, even if the church does not. Wow. Wow. Have we forgot how powerful prayer is? Do you realize every great thing that's happened in my life happened because of prayer? Can I tell you the highlight of my whole life? My daughter and son-in-law, my daughter is leading worship. My son-in-law is working to be the youth pastor. You say, how did that happen? Because of prayer. You say, man of God, is any other good thing happening? Hey, every good thing that's happened in my life was because of prayer. And if we're going to have revival and we're going to have a move of God, we got to return to prayer. And Derek, I'm shutting my Bible, Brother Dan. You say, why do you do that? It just makes folks feel better. It's a great concept. I flew over to the Philippines in January. I call him Double D. Doyle Williamson. I'm 5'10" if I really stretch out. He's about 6'6". He's older than me. I'm younger than him. I slap him around. That ain't true. Brother George, we love each other. I love that man. That man walks with God, loves God, lives for God. We go over there and we're praying together, and we're over there, and we land in Manila, and then we go to Batangas City, and we're there the whole week. And Brother Tom Ballard, here's the truth. God shook that island. God shook that island. The pastor, he started when I went over. I've been in 03, 05, and 08. Now I went the start of this year, so I guess 18. So I've been four times to the Philippines. First time I went, he had the school from kindergarten to sixth grade. By the donations that people gave to me, we enabled them to build several more levels of their school. And they went from kindergarten all the way up to 10th grade. Then they went from kindergarten all the way up to 12th grade. Now they have a Bible college. Now they're sending out missionaries and other workers that are getting saved in that work, and they are shaking that planet. They are shaking that island. And hey, me and Brother Doyle got over there and God shook that place. And someone said, well, man of God, was it because you and Doyle had great sermons? Look up here. If you know me and Doyle well, we don't have really good sermons, but we prayed and the Holy Ghost shook that island. You say, man of God, what do we need to do? We need to repair the altar of peace, the altar of purity, the altar of power, and the altar of prayer. Amen. Stand all over the room. Father, would you do something tonight in this invitation that only you can do? God, I know there are great churches represented here tonight. God, I thank you for Cornerstone. I thank you for their love for you and their heart to serve you and their heart to even have revival. God, I thank you. God, there are great ministers in this room. God, I pray that there are altars in my life, there are altars in their life that need to be repaired. Do something this evening that only you can do, and we'll bless you and thank you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Please, every head remain bowed, every eye remain closed.